Perspectives on Indian English Literature, Lecture 2, History of Indian English Literature. English was established as the dominant language of administration, education and communication in India during the colonial period. However, the form colonial rule should take in India was not a straightforward issue for the colonists. The first phase of British rule in India from the late 18th century onwards was broadly orientalist in its educational policy. That means that it was advocating the careful study of Indian culture. The orientalist phase of British rule in India started to give way to ideas of Anglicism in the early 19th century, advocating English and European education. From 1792 to the founding of Hindu College in 1817, and for nearly 20 years after that, the nature and purpose of colonial education and the company's role in it were furiously debated in London and Calcutta by the British and Indians. When the East India Company was dogged by financial scandals, Anglicists claimed that Orientalism was responsible for driving British officials to degeneration and corruption, presumed to be the natural state of the Orient, and that it was necessary to introduce Indians to European learning to remedy this state of affairs. Though Orientalists continued to dominate official policy for a while, partly because of the belief that the natives were not ready for a European education, over time, historical exigencies, particularly the prospect of long-term British rule and the opening up for the region to missionaries, swung the pendulum in the Anglicist direction. In her Masks of Conquest, Gauri Viswanatham has argued that while the English Parliament wished to see a Europeanized improvement in the morals and manners of natives, partly to suit its administrative needs, it was nervous about interfering in their religious beliefs through missionary activity. The teaching of English literature, she argues, was seen as a way to disseminate English values without coming into direct conflict with native religious belief. In the 1830s, a crossroads for the British Empire in Asia, the British weighed whether they should impose their own culture and values on the colonies, or whether they should help maintain and build Asian cultures on their own terms. Some, among them the first Governor-General of India appointed by the East India Company, Warren Hastings, had previously advocated an Orientalist approach. Hastings learned Persian and four Indian languages, founded the Asiatic Society, and commissioned the first English-Hindustani dictionaries, as well as translations of the ancient Sanskrit text Bhagavad Gita. The introduction of the English language and the English educational system was a conscious effort to do the opposite by men like Thomas Babington Macaulay and Charles Trevelyan. They claimed India was internally so fragmented, so heterogeneous, such a mosaic of languages and ethnicities that it needed a centralizing language to sustain its national unity. Macaulay writes in his Minutes on Indian Education in 1835, "I have no knowledge of either Sanskrit or Arabic, but I have done what I could to form a correct estimate of their value. I have read translations of the most celebrated Arabic and Sanskrit works. I have conversed both here and at home with men distinguished by their proficiency in the Eastern tongues. I am quite ready to take the Oriental learning at the valuation of the Orientalists themselves. I have never found one among them who could deny that a single shelf of a good European library was worth the whole native literature of India and Arabia. The intrinsic superiority of the Western literature is, indeed, fully admitted by those members of the committee who support the Oriental plan of education." The objective of the Minute and the English education system it prescribed for India was to form a class who may be interpreters between us, the British, and the millions whom we govern, a class of persons, Indian in blood and colour, but English in taste, in opinions, in morals, and in intellect, and so create an Anglicised India. Macaulay's argument was followed by the English Education Act of 1835, which established English as the language of administration and the medium of educational instruction in India. This signaled the triumph of the Anglicists. As a subject, English literature was first established as a result of the 1853 India Act and the recommendations of the Civil Service of the East India Company of 1855. The Indian Rebellion of 1857 meant the end of company rule in India and the East India Company itself. The Government of India Act in 1857 transferred the East India Company's rule over British India to the Crown in 1858. The same year, three Western-style universities where English literature began to be formally studied were established in Calcutta, Bombay, and Madras. At the time, English literary studies were not taught at universities in Britain. It was only in 1893 that Oxford University's administration approved a School of English Language and Literature. It is one of the ironies of colonial history that English literary studies had their beginnings in India and Africa. Following the changes in education, imported English language books were no longer read only by expatriate Britons but also by highly educated Indians from the latter half of the 19th century onwards. Furthermore, English language and literature, including English novels, high and lowbrow, had an influence on Indian writing. The English novel represented a new narrative form which was soon adopted and adapted by Indian writers, making the novel a part of India's rich and long literary tradition. The writing of prose histories and the birth of a novel coincided in British India. The emergence of the novel in India was closely connected to experiments in prose, realism, and the writing of national history. The novel emerged in 19th century India with a profound interest in the writing of history and, relatedly, in articulating a sense of nationhood. This concern was particularly visible in the Anglophone novel written at the time with a mainly European reader and interlocutor in mind. The rise of prose and prose fiction is connected to the growth of a bilingual native middle class, specifically a Hindu middle class intelligentsia in Bengal, the first region to come under formal British rule. The first Indian novels were written in the 1850s. The first Indian novel in English, Rajmohan's Wife, written by Bankim Chandra Chatterjee, appeared soon after, in 1864. Bankim Chandra had become in 1858 one of the first two graduates of the newly founded University of Calcutta and had entered the civil service. He had read Sanskrit literature widely and was already writing poems and essays in Bengali. He began Rajmohan's Wife in 1863. Like many 19th century novels, it was originally serialized in a periodical, an English language weekly, Indian Field, and published in book form much later. Rajmohan's Wife is set in a small village in rural Bengal. Most of the characters belong to the Upper Bourgeoisie, in particular a single Hindu Kayastha extended family. Supriya Choudhury has noted that on the one hand, the novel attempts to adapt the rhetorical devices of Sanskrit poetry to contemporary events and characters, and on the other, it is informed by the classic concerns of the bourgeois novel of 19th century Europe, property, sex, and marriage. It resembled the emergent Indian novel in the modern vernaculars. In the latter half of the 19th century, writing in the modern Indian languages was being transformed by Western influence, which was a source of cultural anxieties. However, Western literary forms also gave impetus to new modes of literary self-representation in 19th century India. The novel represented a new narrative form, which was adopted from England by Indian writers who made the novel a part of India's rich and long literary tradition. The birth of the novel and new prose fiction in general has been seen to be connected with the coming of political modernity in India. The novel is based on ideas of individualism and democracy and a certain kind of realism or rationalism. Harish Trivedi writes that in Hindi literature, the appearance of the novel made available new attitudes to individual destiny, to society and civilization, and to the very notion of physical reality. Supriya Chaudhuri notes that new vernacular literatures tried to adapt Enlightenment ideas within native literary idioms, and Western genres had to accommodate the desires, aspirations, and experiences of the native bourgeoisie. In Bankim's novels, for example, this mixed literary heritage can be seen in the influence of Shakespeare, Scott, and the Romantic poets, as well as the Sanskrit Kavya tradition. The India novel in English had to wait until the 1930s for its proper breakthrough. Novels were written in English also in the early decades of the 20th century, but they did not receive much claim or visibility and have now been largely forgotten. The novel in English emerged in India properly in the 1930s, the decade prior to independence. The three writers behind the rise of the Indian English novel in the 1930s were Mulk Raj Anand, Raja Rao, and R.K. Narayan. Raja Rao's first novel, Kantapura, published in 1938, is a Gandhian novel dealing with the Indian independence movement. Kantapura is also one of the first major Indian novels written in English. Rao wrote in a distinctive Indian variety of English, influenced by his native language, Kannada. In his famous foreword to the novel Kantapura, Raja Rao explains the difficulties involved in writing Indian novels in English. Kannada. In his famous foreword to the novel Kantapura, Raja Rao explains the difficulties involved in writing Indian novels in English. One has to convey in a language that is not one's own the spirit that is one's own. One has to convey the various shades and omissions of a certain thought movement that looks maltreated in an alien language. I use the word alien, yet English is not really an alien language to us. It is the language of our intellectual makeup, like Sanskrit or Persian was before, but not of our emotional makeup. We are all instinctively bilingual, many of us writing in our own language and in English. We cannot write like the English, we should not. We cannot write only as Indians. We have grown to look at the large world as part of us. Our method of expression, therefore, has to be a dialect which will someday prove to be as distinctive and colorful as the Irish or the American. Time alone will justify it. Rao's style of writing can be seen as counter-colonizing English, as he adapted the language to suit his ends. It could then be seen as an act of defiance and resistance. On the other hand, as we have seen, writing in English has also been interpreted as collaboration and complicity. In the three decades following independence, several now renowned Indian English novelists made their entrance, such as Kuswant Singh, Anita Desai, and Nayantara Sahgal. But it was during and after the 1980s that Indian English fiction gained prominence on the world stage with the emergence of such acclaimed writers as Salman Rushdie, Amitav Ghosh, Vikram Seth, Rohinton Mistry, and Arundhati Roy. Salman Rushdie's Midnight's Children introduced Indian history for the first time to many of the novel's non-Indian readers and started a veritable boom of Indian English writing that was geared towards examining and evaluating the history of 20th century India and presenting social and political criticism. For approximately 15 years, from the early 1980s to the mid-1990s, Indian English novelists manifested an interest in Indian national politics and history and a return to examining the idea of India in their novels. Harish Trivedi has called this trend the Rushdie Stevenian international Indian novella's history, the shift away from which was marked in 1997 by the publication of Arundhati Roy's The God of Small Things. In addition to the Rushdie Stevenian history novels, also a number of more traditional realist Indian English novels which focused on historical topics were published. The reasons behind this history trend are most likely manifold, but the social and political developments in India would seem to be a central reason. Midnight's Children, which won the Booker Prize in 1981, was important not only because of its politics, though the novel's open critique of India's ruling elite marked a significant turning point in Indian English literature. Rushdie's novel ushered in a new era of Indian English writing and introduced magical realism and postmodern playfulness into the Indian novel in English, which had previously been characterized mainly by the conventions of classic fictive realism. Rushdie himself notes that Midnight's Children was partly conceived as an opportunity to break away from the manner in which India had been written about in English, not just by Indian writers but by Western writers as well. In the Nehru era, the Indian English novel often constructed and affirmed the Nehruvian idea of the pluralism of the nation. The realist novel's earlier engagement with nation-building and history writing seems to have been at odds with the new reality of mid-1970s India. Hence the change took place, and new ways of writing about the historical experience were introduced by Rushdie. Many writers, especially novelists who are graduates of Delhi's highly prestigious St. Stephen's College, such as Ayalan Seely, Shashi Tharoor and Kushwant Singh, took up and developed the Rushdie-esque style in their history novels. The realist Indian English novel did not, however, disappear with the grand breakthrough of magical realism. Many established Indian English novelists, such as Nayantara Sahgal, continued to employ the realist mode in their fiction. The 1990s actually witnessed a new rise of realist Indian English historical fiction. Vikram Seth's A Suitable Boy and Rohinton Mystery's Such a Long Journey and A Fine Balance, for example, were critically highly acclaimed as well as popular novels. A Suitable Boy examines Nehruvian India in the early 1950s when hopes for and expectations of the new state still ran high. Such a Long Journey and A Fine Balance are set in the 1970s and chart the decline and betrayal of Nehruvian India and post-independence ideals and expectations. Mysteries and sets, historical novels, like earlier Indian English fiction that tackled Indian history, utilize the fictional conventions of classic realism familiar from an older European tradition. Set and mystery invigorated the mode of realism that Rushdie felt had not left writers much to explore. Sahgal, of course, has consistently been writing realist novels, going on to win prizes for them in the 1980s after the breakthrough of magical realism, proving thus that the realist novel had not met a dead end.